Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So as we study together this morning, we are wrapping up our conversation regarding how God is particular. Today we want to find out about obedience. Is it particular as well? You see, obedience is a form of social influence that involves acting on the orders of an authority figure, right? They say something, you do what they have said, you obey. It's a bit different to compliance, by the way, but we're talking about obedience today. If it often involves actions a person would not have taken unless they were directed to do so by someone of authority or of influence, like we're saying. Now, this question then that stands is obedience particular, or it can be subjective? So that you hear the instruction, but you do it like in your own flavor. It's still somewhat the instruction, so to speak, but it's got your signature, if I will put it like that. And that's what we want to be finding out. And Brother Nxumalo leads us in how to address this and how the lesson address and responds to this conundrum right here. He joins us now on the line. Good morning, sir, and welcome.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you doing?
To you and to your listeners.
Thank you so much. How do we find you on this Friday? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, happy preparation day.
Yeah.
Hopefully we will enter the Sabbath having been prepared.
Oh, yes.
What I'm hoping for. Yeah.
Certainly, certainly. Thank you so much again for joining us for this discussion. And let's jump straight into it for today. What's God's expectation of our obedience? We're saying, is obedience also particular today? What's his expectation?
Is obedience particular? The answer to that is, yes, God is very particular when it comes to obedience. Whatever he tells you to do, he expects you to do exactly what he says. He doesn't expect you to kind of add your own flavor to the commandment and your own interpretation. The Bible says, whoever adds to this book, let him be accursed. Mm.
You know, you remind me of, I think you touched on this one yesterday about Cain and Abel, right? Where the instruction has come through. And it's like, no, I will still come and offer, but I will give my own flavor of offering, you know. But you're saying if he expects you to do this, he says, and I think he mentions this to Moses, right? When he's supposed to build the sanctuary, exactly as you saw on the mountain. That's how you must do it. Yeah, it's profound. But surely, you can't even add some spice in yana. I don't know.
Okay, let me put it like this. And this is the question that I had, you know, the entire week.
Okay.
Which is, what happens then, like, for example, the Bible, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think this one is very clear. God expects you to stop all your commercial work. And I need to highlight that. All your commercial work.
Okay.
On Sabbath day. More than that, in the book of Isaiah, he goes ahead to explain what can and cannot be done on the Sabbath. He says that you can't look for your own pleasure. So you can't go and watch movies on Sabbath. You can't have idle conversations like you and I are just talking about everything else except for God on Sabbath.
Okay.
Right? So those are idle conversations. You can't even have a business talk on Sabbath. You understand? So you're resting from all commercial work. Why are you doing it? What's the principle behind that? You see, God has set this time. You see, the Sabbath day is like a wedding anniversary. It's like a wedding anniversary. God created us, right? And he weds us, so to speak, right?
Okay.
And the wedding, or rather the anniversary, is every week, on the last day of the week. And he says, remember it to keep it holy. So what do you do on an anniversary, right? You don't just go about doing whatever you like, right? AWR is going to give you a day off so that you can spend time with your wife on your wedding day. But luckily yours is on a public holiday. You understand, you don't work on that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you spend time with the one you love the most. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? So if you love the Lord your God, you'll spend time with him one day of the week, a day he has said.
Okay.
Not a day that you feel like.
Yeah.
You get where I'm going with this.
Mm.
So God is very particular when it comes to this, right? He's very particular when it comes to what you do. But now, here's the question that I ask myself, right? Now, God, was God very specific exactly what we should be doing as we rest on the Sabbath day?
Okay.
The answer to that is no. He was not very particular with exactly what you should do at 8 o'clock and at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
The details, he was not. Why? Because he understands that we come from different backgrounds, different cultures. You understand? So he gets that. So there are rules that govern every culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every culture must submit to the full authority of God, must never be outside of the authority of God. In other words, I am an African.
Mm-hmm.
I come from South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, there's a certain way we keep the Sabbath, right?
Okay.
Now, because I'm South African, there are certain ways and a culture to do things, right? So in that context, I will then keep the Sabbath. Maybe you might be living far away from a church, right? The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. But you can have access to the internet. You can accommodate, you can keep the Sabbath day by accessing a church via the internet because you are unable to go to church, right?
Mm,
so God is not very specific as to the how, but what he's specific on is on the guidelines to say, this is what you should do. Stick to that and you are obeying. But if you step outside of those rules and say, Jesus is my Sabbath day, there's no way that God can protect you from the consequences of your sin.
You remind me of the conversations that are currently raging for those who are on the social spaces. Apparently, someone was posted a testimonial where they were feeling aggrieved. You know, the church didn't support them at a time. They were not working. They had lost their job based on the Sabbath matters. And they then were airing their views on how they then spent some period of time without working until they found a job and they're working on Sabbath, and they've now they were just voicing out how the church didn't support them when they didn't, and now the debate is it okay or not to work on Sabbath, and people are feeling like if you say no, don't work on Sabbath, and you don't provide the job as a church, you're not being fair. And I'm like, okay, when did we arrive at a position where the name says seventh day and the seventh day of that is saying you don't work on this day? Now we're having a discussion as Adventists of can we work or not work on Sabbath? And it's like, okay, how did we get here? How did you get here? And maybe talk to us a bit about that. To say, when you look at the Bible and how we interpret it, is God particular about that? To say, he said this in his word. He said it. We're not denying, but surely what we do, it's almost going back to that introduction from yesterday. He understands when we kind of deviate. I mean, he knows our situations after all. His word in entirety, is it supposed to be thus saith the Lord, or we can kind of like Abba Buffet?
It's a straight thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. There is no compromise there. Like I said yesterday, you see, God will say his word. He has a thus saith the Lord, and then he provides an exception, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll give an example of the Sabbath attendance, right?
Okay.
I am sick. I cannot go to church because I'm very sick. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because God is particular, does it mean now I have broken the Sabbath when I don't go to church? By the way, it does say that the Sabbath day is for holy convocation.
Yes, yes. It's for holy meeting.
So if you don't go to church on Sabbath, you have broken the Sabbath.
Mm.
For those of you who feel like, no, I can do a Bible study at home. You don't go to church, you have broken the Sabbath.
Mm.
I want you to understand that even in the book of Hebrews says, it is a man of some not to be gathered together, to forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You have to attend church on Sabbath. All right.
Okay.
Now, continuing from that point, if someone says that, no, but I have to work, whatnot, for me, I think the first answer I have that is that the seventh-day Sabbath was not given by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was given by God.
Mm.
I think that's the first answer.
Okay.
God never, the Seventh-day Adventists never said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Yeah.
We are only telling you what God said.
Yeah.
So if you have lost a job as a result of Sabbath keeping, right, and the church doesn't support you, the church is not supposed to support you. Your faith in God
okay.
is what is supposed to sustain you. Your faith in God. You see, when we go through, the Bible says, when we go through trials, we must count it all joy. Because that is for the building of our faith. Right? When you're tested, it's so that your faith is being built.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you have faith in God and you have faith in the keeping of his commandments, you have obedience in him, you will keep the Sabbath day, even if it's at the risk of losing your work. Right. Now, here's the exception to the rule.
Okay, okay.
What about doctors?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What about doctors? Can they work on the Sabbath day? Jesus says this in reply to that. He says, the Levites, the priests, break the Sabbath in order to make sacrifices on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They work harder on the Sabbath
than on any other day. Yeah.
Than on any other day. Our pastors break the Sabbath.
Mm.
Right. So are they sinning? No, they are not. Mm. Why? Because then Jesus says it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day.
Okay.
Now hear me out. When someone is at a risk, right? Going back to also the example of someone being sick and staying at home.
Yeah.
Your life is at risk. If you were to get up and try to go to church to obey God, you will end up killing yourself or you end up getting worse, right?
Mm.
If that happens, then what would have been the point, right? But here's where God is very accommodative. He provides grace to say, while the commandment was like this, I understand that you live in the world of sin, and your bodies have not been yet renewed.
Yeah.
That is still a promise that will yet be fulfilled in the future. But your body is still weak. You still get sick. When you're sick, call the elders to come and lay hands on you. Now, if you are a doctor, there are people who are sick. There are always going to be people who are sick. And your shift is on Sabbath day. Go to work, Mzalwane. Go to work.
Mm.
You're a doctor. Your responsibility is to save lives. Go to work, right?
Yeah.
Because as a doctor, you cannot afford, right, that when you are placed on duty on the Sabbath day, that you deviate from that because people's lives
depend on that. Yeah, yeah.
So what God is more concerned about is saving lives. The Sabbath day in and of itself, the commandments in and of themselves are life. They are about saving lives.
Mm.
If we now obey the commandments of God at the risk of someone else's life, we are breaking those commandments.
Mm, mm.
That's the reason why when we read the Bible, we begin to understand that there are certain people who will work on the Sabbath day and that won't be a problem. Now, that does not mean that if your job is not a matter of life and death,
you're
and you
excused.
Now work on the Sabbath,
yeah.
You are the exception to the rule.
Yeah, yeah. And then you say to yourself, no, God understands I need this job. My family will survive. It's about saving life.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Just one more thing I need to say.
Yeah.
If you read Matthew chapter 6, building up to verse 33, right? Jesus starts off by saying, don't invest in the world. Right? Don't invest in this life that where moths will eat up all your investments, but invest in the kingdom of God. Then he says, you cannot serve God and money.
Mm.
Then he says, don't worry about all these things that money can provide for you.
Mm.
Seek first the kingdom of God
yeah.
and his righteousness. What is righteousness? The keeping of the law of God.
Mm.
When you seek these things, all these things will be added to you. Because such the Gentiles seek after.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Lord will provide for you. We cannot be like the world in that we think that our work, our jobs, mammon or money will provide the security that we need. God is the provider.
He is the one who sustains.
We need to trust him, keep his commandments, and trust that he will come through for us. And I know I'm going through that situation right now where I'm financially under a lot of stress, but trust in God. You have no idea the amount of peace you get when you just put your trust in him. He says,
amen.
I will give him perfect peace who puts his trust in me.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. It's not just about the obedience. It's about the trust. It's yes. about that relationship.
You cannot obey someone you do not trust.
Now, I want you to maybe follow up that one there with the conversation regarding the history of God with his particular nature towards obedience. Because sometimes we think, especially in this generation of grace, right, where we have so much grace, and the Ecclesiastes will say, when the punishment for sin is not speedily executed, right? We live in that age where we don't see the earth opening and stuff. So talk to us about that God's particular nature regarding obedience, and what the lesson addresses to some historical evidence where people thought, no man, God is too loving, he won't do that to us. Can't he? God says, I told you guys, here's the execution of the judgment.
I think the perfect answer to that is what happened to the Jews when Nebuchadnezzar finally came.
Mm-hmm.
When you read throughout the book of Jeremiah, it's warning after warning after warning. Guys, repent. Guys, repent. Guys, repent. And they're like, no, all of these things that he says that Nebuchadnezzar will come, no, none of that will happen, until it did.
Mm.
And God's like, you know what? Go ahead and build houses and pray for the nation that you stay in. You're going to be there for 70 years.
Mm.
Get comfortable.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And that is then the meaning of God is not necessarily punishing you, but God is allowing the consequences of your sin
to play out.
Yeah. So that perhaps you might trust him this time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to understand. God is not a tyrant who's waiting for the opportunity to punish you. Look at the amount of sins you have done throughout your life, and how many of them you have actually suffered the consequences of. Look at how many consequences you have suffered. You realize just how merciful God really is.
You know, and we live in this age, right, Blake, where we have this mentality of what's wrong with it. I don't know if you've ever heard that
yes.
group of people. What's wrong with it?
Yes.
And I'm reminded of Lot's wife, right? How one could question, what's wrong with turning and looking at Sodom? No, why would God want to punish somebody for that? What's wrong with just turning and looking? But turning and looking resulted in her turning into a pillar of salt.
Yes.
And I think that's something that we underestimate, right? And especially this sense as well of like we were touching earlier on, this creativity to think, but if I can do it this way, I don't see any problem with this. But the Bible says, hey, there's a way that seems right. You are not God, Buzalane. You're not infinite. Your mind is limited. Respond to what he has given you as an idea or as an instruction and follow it in that manner. I want us to wrap it up perhaps with the New Testament.
Yes.
Most people believe that the New Covenant is a lighter covenant and God is no longer, I mean, we'd already touched on it to say it's the age of grace, right? Therefore, God doesn't really care about obedience. It's about grace. Is grace a ticket to disobey God?
Grace is a ticket to disobey God. And that's how many Christians actually interpret it. But they will never say it like that.
Okay.
They will never say it like that. But the answer is true. For most Christians, yes, it's a license to sin.
Mm.
Whereas the truth is, no, it's not. Paul says, and people overlook what he says. He says, do we then by grace do away with the law? He says, no, we don't do away with the law.
Mm.
Yet we establish it.
Okay.
So what does it mean to establish? It means that we are actually like we are actually trying to tell you that the law still must be kept. Grace is not for you to, you know, do whatever you want. Grace is to allow you another chance to keep the law again. Right. I want to read this Jude verse 24. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with his exceeding joy. This is the promise we're given. Grace, this is what grace is basically to the New Testament Christian, right? By the way, the Old Testament people also had the same amount of grace.
Mm.
Grace is no different, right?
Okay.
The difference is we happen to be in the dispensation that was after Christ has died. They were before, but we all look to the same Christ, right? With them, they had a lot to do to confirm that faith in something they had not seen. With us, we had already seen it. So a faith in something we've already seen. So these are slightly easier on us. But here's the thing that we don't understand. Because of the ease that we have in repentance, how much more a punishment are we going to receive than them who do not have that ease? Right? Now, I need us to understand that. See, grace comes to us not to for us to continue sinning, but to have a new chance to keep the commandments of God fully.
Okay, it's an enabler.
It's an enabler, right? It doesn't end with your repentance. It also enables you to not fall into sin again and to keep the law of God perfectly. Some Adventists don't believe this. Some Christians don't believe this. You can live a totally sinless life now, and have no sin whatsoever in this life because of grace. That's what grace is for. To enable you to live an entirely and total righteous life. That's what grace is for.
That's what His grace is for. His grace is for us to be able to do what He says we must do. Baba Nxumalo, thank you so much for your time this week. Truly appreciate you. Your final words to the listener?
I think the final words is, as we approach the Sabbath, I think one of my favorite writers says this, guard the edges of the Sabbath. If we love God, we will guard the edges of the Sabbath and guard the edges of all the commandments of God. Whatever appears to be evil, look away and pray that God gives you His grace to overcome sin. My encouragement to all of us, God is particular, but He gives you the power to overcome. You can overcome. Say to yourself, I can overcome. And say it, God has given me the strength to overcome. I can overcome. And you will overcome. You can live a sinless life and you can overcome. Those are my final words.
I love that. You can overcome. He can give you that power. Thank you so much, Buti. May God bless you until we chat next time. May He bless you, your ministry, and your family.
Thank you so much.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.